a pastor at County Line and also Mount Zion Churches, and happy to have he and Sister Elizabeth with us this morning. So I guess I better turn this camera around. And it's already 10 after, so let's not be too mindful of the clock. Brother Richard, come here. May the Lord bless you, brother.
Thank you, sir.
Good to have you with us.
Good to be here. Yes, thank you. I, too, enjoyed the wonderful hymn service. I was lifted up by it, inspired by the good song selection. Appreciate the humble prayer and the sentiments expressed in it, and hope that these petitions will be answered on your behalf and mine today as we attempt to expound from the scriptures for a few moments. It may be folly on my part or ambitious to try to turn to three passages and try to glean from them, but you pray for me that my condenser can work, and I think everything can turn out well. I want to try to speak to you about a thought that occurred to me yesterday afternoon. We had some problems with our well, and we were expecting a man to come do some work on it, and the bushes around the pump and all that kind of stuff had kind of gotten out of control, and I took the cutters and went out there and started trimming a path so they wouldn't have any trouble getting to the well and wouldn't have any problems working on it when I got there. And I thought about those branches that I was removing. You know, they had been ambitious and in seeking sunlight had almost grown together across the path, and the leaves were out where they could absorb the light of the sun and take in through the photosynthesis the things that they need. But I thought about what I was cutting off, and every time I cut one, I thought, this is more work. You know, every time you cut one off, you've got something that you've got to gather up and go put on the burn pile, and you've got to take care of it some kind of way later. And I thought about this passage of Scripture in John chapter 15, the words of Jesus where he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. That's something that we need to bear in mind. That purging is not comfortable. That purging is the trimming away of things that are oftentimes hindering a fruit-bearing plant, whether it's a vine or whether it's a tree. The husbandmen know the time of year to go out and prune that tree so that the new growth, when it comes out, will bear more fruit or much fruit. They also know when to fertilize and how much to fertilize the roots of the plant and when it needs to be watered, or they at least pray for rain that fruit would be born by the tree. So when we take these simple lessons that the Lord taught and apply them to our lives, we're not trees out in the yard. We're not bushes or plants or literal grapevines, but we're compared to that as we serve the Lord. And the way that we bear fruit is by abiding in the vine. The way that our fruit comes forth is not through labors of our own, as the brother expressed in his prayer, but when our light shines, it's light that the Lord works in. Now, can we increase the intensity of that light? I believe that we can. I've seen dear saints of God, Brother Sam Bond being one of those, that the light of the love of God just seemed to shine and beam forth from his face when he was happy in the Lord. Yours as well, as we've been blessed to be lifted up under the sound of the gospel. And so as we feed on the word of God and we abide in the vine by assembling ourselves together with the body of Christ, because you are, in Ephesians, it says that we're flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. Husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So as we enter into marriage and we are the companionship and the love that we have and the fellowship with husband and wife, that becoming one flesh, we are that with the Lord, and we don't need to forget that we're part of his body. The church is his visible kingdom and body in the world, and so we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. I know you hear that a lot, we all do, but there's so many passages of scripture that bear this out. It's stated so many ways that we do not prosper apart from the vine, apart from abiding in the Son of God. Now, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, just like the husbandman of a fruit tree. He knows when a limb is getting dead. Well, in that world, you just saw it off. You just discard it because it's not bearing fruit. It's like that song that we sang says, without love, preaching's vain. Religion just a show. Trees that here only cumber ground on which no fruit will grow. If there's a fruit tree there without bearing fruit, it's just mercilessly cut down and cast into the fire. It's not serving its purpose. And Paul spoke about keeping his body in subjection, that he would not become a castaway. And we're not talking about children of God being plucked out of the hand of God and eternally lost, or losing our eternal salvation. If it is eternal salvation, how can you lose it? If it's eternal, you have it eternally. You had it in prospect from the foundation of the world. And I hope to touch on that a little more before my time is gone. But every branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. So there's that reason for being cast aside. We don't want to be responsible for, you know, taking any part of that responsibility that we're not bearing fruit. But we want to avail ourselves of the reading of the word, the singing of the hymns, and the preaching that we feed on. We want to avail ourselves of those opportunities, that by doing that, we're abiding in the vine and have the nutrition that we need to let our light shine, to let that fruit be born in our lives. Now, every branch that beareth fruit, when you do these things and you bear fruit, you're still going to get trimmed and purged, and it's going to be painful. You know, you think, well, I was doing the right thing. I was trying to live for the Lord. I was trying to do a good deed, and look at this punishment. You know, no good deed ever goes unpunished, they say. But, you know, sometimes even when we're in the process of bearing fruit, there's some little dead limb over here, some little hindrance over there that the husbandman says, you're not quite ready yet. You're not perfect yet. You're not fully mature. You're not fully to the point that you need to be. So you need to be purged. And the purge button on my scuba regulator, back when I used to participate in scuba diving, you can take a regulator out of your mouth underwater and put it back. But if you try to breathe, you're going to get a lung full of water because you didn't press if you don't press the purge button, which allows a bunch of air to come suddenly into the regulator and blow out the water that got in it when you removed it. Because there's something that rushes in there and fills the void that you can't handle. So you have to purge the water out of the regulator in order to breathe again. And that's similar. I mean, that's why they call it a purge button. It blows out the water that you can't breathe and gives you air that you can breathe. So things that are purged in the scripture, it's like silver and gold run through the fire is purged of the dross that is in them. And the more you run the silver or the gold through that process, the brighter and purer it is. And that's, we're compared to that too, as when we, and the Bible doesn't say if you've passed through the fire, it says when you pass through the fire, the Lord still will not leave you or forsake you. He says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. You're not going to bear good, healthy, God-honoring fruit apart from the teachings of the Lord, apart from dwelling in him and feeding on him and so forth. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. He's not guaranteeing us an answer to prayer like we have a genie in a bottle that we just go to anytime we're ready. But our prayers will be changed when we're abiding in the Lord. We're going to pray with the mind of God, more likely. We're going to ask for things that honor God. We're going to ask for things that help others and help the church to bear more fruit. Those type of prayers, I believe, are more frequently answered. The closer we walk with the Lord, the more opportunities we have to see our prayers answered in that regard. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. We can't even claim to be under the discipline of the Lord if we're not bearing fruit, and that fruit is not glorifying God. That's the purpose of all of it, as Brother Jamie expressed in his prayer this morning, that we don't need to forget that all this is about bringing glory to the Father. That's the purpose for which we were created. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. That is a mouthful. As the Lord loved Christ the same way Christ loved us, the Father has loved the Son eternally. And they have always been together. You need to meditate on that thought. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. If we want to experience the full joy of the Lord in this life, abide in him as those vines abide in the branches of the vine and the trees that bear fruit. And we will depart from that portion for the sake of time. And I want to try to bring another thought in the sixth chapter of John. And you have heard me quote this portion of scripture before, one of them that I hope to get to shortly. In John chapter 6, verse 26, Jesus had just recently performed a miracle of multiplying bread, and the people were so ready to make him king, they were ready to take him by force and make him a king because they liked that bread. They like that literal physical bread to eat that they didn't have to labor for. And they would have followed him from now till the end of their life, if he would have provided that physical bread and they didn't have to work, they would have just followed him on and on and on, and no matter what he said, they probably would have stuck with him as long as they were being filled physically. And he knew that, and he knew that they were about to take him by force and make him a king, but it was not going to be for the right reason. It was going to be for the fulfillment of their fleshly desires. And so he departed from them. He went alone into a mountain, and then there's other things related here, but I'm leaving out all that to get to the part where they caught up with him again, and they wanted to know when he came to where he was, and they were seeking more bread. And we know that because in verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, and because ye did eat of the loaves, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." Now, if Jesus said that was the only reason that they followed him, don't you think he knew what the reason was? I mean, I know that he told the truth, especially when he started a sentence with "verily, verily," it meant truly, truly, or absolutely, this is true, what I am about to say. I heard about an old black preacher that said Jesus started this statement with "verily, verily," and that means "sure enough." So when he says "verily, verily," you think, well, sure enough, he's about to tell the truth. And he said, "I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." Just simply to meet their physical desires of having something to eat, that was the reason they followed him. That doesn't need to be our motivation, even though I'm convinced the Lord richly blesses us with our physical needs. If we seek his kingdom first, he promises all these things shall be added unto you. So we know that our physical needs are often met when we see no way that they can be. It's the Lord providing. "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." They wanted to know what we might do to work the works of God. Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." Now, some people teach that that's the work that we're supposed to do. You have a work to do, and it is believing on the Son of God, just like everybody could do it if they would. But it is the work of God that ye believe. It's God working that belief in you. You don't believe without evidence, and God has to give you the evidence, open your eyes, and show you who the Son of God is. Now, then they talk here about Moses giving them bread in the wilderness, and Jesus said, "Moses didn't give you that bread, but my Father gave you that bread from heaven." I'm not going to have time to be courteous with the time and finish that thought there, but we abide in the vine so that we bear fruit. We eat his flesh and drink his blood. His body is the bread. And one way that we abide in the vine is feeding on his word and abiding with his people. Now, I want to mention one other situation in Matthew chapter 8. Verse 5, "When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Now this man was a Roman centurion, which normally meant a man that was a commander of a company of about 100 men. He may have had 89, he may have had 119, but somewhere around 100 of Roman centurion was the officer commanding a group of about 100 men. And he says, I'm under authority. I have authority above me that give me orders, and I have men under me that I give orders to. I say to this man, come, and he cometh, and I say to that man, go, and he goeth. He's telling Jesus that I understand authority, and I know that to do the things that you're doing, that you have authority. And your authority is so great that you don't have to come to my house to heal my servant. All you have to do is just speak the word and it'll be done. Now, that was a marvelous thing for a man of another race, from another country, a statement to make by a Gentile about the Lord at this time, because it was the work of God that he believed on Jesus Christ. It was not a work that he had done. Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. And then the centurion makes that statement, I say to this man, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west. In other words, from all points of the compass, I'm gathering my people in. They're going to be Jews and Gentiles, and they're going to be without respect of persons, but they're coming from all quarters, and they're gathering into my kingdom. That many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the self same hour. Now, one group followed not because they saw the miracles, they just wanted to be filled. Another group of people is described as bearing fruit, but it was because they must abide in the vine to bear that fruit. And I believe this Roman centurion is an example of one that it was the work of God that he believed, and he was bearing the fruit of faith without any external religious practice. He just comes to the Lord, acknowledges him and his authority and who he is, and said, if you speak it, it'll be done. That's the one that I want to declare to you today, and I believe these other brethren will declare to us, is the one with all authority, the one that gets everything done that he purposes to do. And isn't it a wonderful thing to have that light of knowledge that our God is not trying to do anything. He does his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? They may say it, they may ask it, but they're not going to get the answer that they want, because God is sovereign. I hope that something I've said will benefit you in your days to come. I appreciate the opportunity.